knowing Jesus Christ. I'd like to turn your attention to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and once you find John 1, go ahead and stand out of respect for God's Word. And also, too, who knows the next time you'll get to stand. Sometimes I get involved in preaching, I forget where I'm at, and I just go for a while. So no, I won't keep you too long this morning. I sure do appreciate the invitation, Brother Barry. I know Brother Moore technically invited me, but Brother Chad could have said, you know, canceled. You know, let's do something else. And he kept the appointment, and I'm thankful for it. You have something special in this man right here, in his family. And I will say more about that as we go, but I'm telling you, God has blessed you with a good man of God to follow. Just get behind him, and you'll find that God does some great things right here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. I really believe that. So John chapter 1, this is the day after. So this is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is on the scene, and this is the day after John the Baptist has declared that Jesus is the Messiah. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So people are just starting to figure out what's going on. They're like, Jesus? I mean, this guy from Nazareth, we know his family. I mean, surely that's not what John meant, but they're finding out that that is what John meant. John chapter 1, verse 35 is where we will read. I'd like to read the whole thing, but we just have a short amount of time trying to get through. John 1:35, it says, "Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." So he's already done this once. Now he's doing it again. Here comes Jesus again. John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They looked there. They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." By the way, come and see. That's for everybody. Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. I love this account. I mean, I love the whole chapter, but I love this part of it because we're seeing what it's like, what it would have been like to meet Jesus. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, to get to meet Jesus Christ, I mean, there's literally no more important event in your life than the moment you meet Jesus Christ. And then once you meet Jesus Christ, there's no more important pursuit in your life than knowing Jesus Christ. Meeting and knowing Jesus Christ is the most important thing you could ever do. And today I just want to look at some things about knowing and meeting Jesus. The idea is when you know Jesus, there are some things that are going to be present that you have to understand. When you know Jesus, certain things are bound to happen. And I want to look at that this morning because let's just be honest. Revival is great. We want revival. We want a fresh new start. We want the fruit and the leaves of our lives to be budding. We want to produce more for Jesus Christ. But you cannot produce more for Jesus Christ if you don't know Him. That's where it all begins. Revival starts on the very ground floor of revival is you deciding that your life pursuit is to know Jesus. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Let's pray and ask Him to bless our time. Father, we pray that you bless the reading of your word, that you would meet with us, that your presence would be real, and that you would speak to us. Help our minds to be engaged. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to know what decisions we ought to make through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God this morning. God, lead us and help us to decide and choose to know Jesus Christ. We love you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Who's the most famous person you've ever met? Anybody ever met anybody just truly very famous? Anybody out here? Not really. I mean, besides Pastor Barry, who's the most famous celebrity that you've ever met? You ever met somebody famous? Okay. Bill Cosby, right. That he's more infamous, right? Right now. Okay. Well, who have you met? Bono, the singer. Okay. All right. So she's met a celebrity, a singer. Anybody else? Anybody ever met a president? Okay. You met a president? Oh, sure. Okay. Got it. So, Joe Biden, do you think he remembers you? Okay. I don't know how much he remembers, you know, so. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anybody famous? So, you know, meeting a celebrity kind of makes you nervous, right? I haven't met hardly anyone famous in my life, but we had a guy last year that was coming to our church, played for the Sioux Falls Skyforce, which is a G League basketball team. And so they were coming to our church while he was playing. He's 6'10". His name is Micah Potter, played at Ohio State Wisconsin. And then just the week later, he got called up to the NBA. So we were watching. We had just eaten lunch with this guy, and the next week we're watching him play in the NBA. Like, we thought it was pretty hot stuff. Like, man, that's really cool. You know, people get really excited about meeting celebrities. There are people that wait hours for an autograph. We drove by in Sioux City. There's a big convention center right along the freeway, and there's a big concert with a famous comedian or a big show with a famous comedian. I mean, thousands of people were pouring into that stadium. I remember reading a while back at the height of Beatlemania. You know who the Beatles are. I mean, surely, probably. I don't know if you listen to them, but I don't listen to them, but I know who they are. There's these two British teenage girls at the height of Beatlemania. They waited four nights in a line to buy tickets to a Beatles concert. And I know, I mean, that's commitment right there, or stupidity, whatever you want to call it. I know meeting a celebrity is cool and all, but that's crazy. So now, okay, I don't mean to be trite about it. I'm just trying to get you into the idea or the mindset of what it would have been like for the children of Israel when someone finally says, the Messiah is here. I mean, this is way bigger than the Beatles. It's way bigger than a concert. It's way bigger than any NBA star, any celebrity, even any president. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And these people have been waiting thousands of years to meet Him. That's what it would have been like for Jesus and the Jews. In John 1, word starts to get around that John the Baptist has declared that the Messiah is here. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But it wasn't the way anybody expected. Talk about unexpected. Here he is saying, Jesus, my cousin, this man from Nazareth, yeah, this is the Messiah. That would be unexpected. It'd be like me saying, Alex, okay? It'd be like, go ahead and stand up for me. Alex looks a lot different than the last time I was here. But it'd be like me saying, Alex, behold, the next president of the United States. Are y'all be excited? I mean, I could see it, but it's still kind of unexpected, right? I mean, I'm sure Alex is a great guy, but we wouldn't expect it. I mean, but maybe, you never know. That'd be great to get somebody like him in the White House. Thank you. But that's how unexpected this was. When John says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, people are like, that guy? Him? You mean Jesus? The son of Joseph and Mary of Nazareth? Are you sure, John? I mean, that's your cousin. I mean, people were not expecting this. And because of who he pointed to, there were some that just flat out denied it. They rejected it. They said, there's no way that's the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come and he's going to have an iron fist. He's going to deliver us from the tyranny of Rome. That guy doesn't look like a general. There were some, when they saw Jesus, they were skeptical. They're like, John, that's your cousin. He comes from Nazareth. We know his family. There's no way that's the guy. But there were some, on the other hand, who wanted to believe. They were seeking. They wanted to know. They wanted to find out more. And when John made his announcement, there were those that were like, if that's really him, I really want to know him. If that's really him, I really want to seek him. And there was nothing to them more important than finding out more about this man named Jesus. And listen, I just want to say to you today, whatever your spiritual condition is, and whatever your background is, you may be in one of these categories. Maybe you're a denier and you don't believe in Jesus. Maybe you're a skeptic. And maybe there's part of you that wants to believe, but you have trouble believing. But you might also then be over here and you're a seeker. And you're like, I really want to know him more. Can I just tell you that knowing Jesus all comes down first, the very first thought here today is this. It all comes down to whether or not you have a desire to know him. Knowing Jesus begins with a desire to know him. Verse 35, it says again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. So they're standing there at the river. There's probably baptisms going around or happening. And John is with his disciples and they're standing there. And along comes Jesus again. And looking, verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, he's back. Everyone look, this is the Lamb of God. And by doing this, what John was doing is he's pointing people to Jesus. He's saying, that's the one you should be following. That's the Lamb of God. And that's exactly what happens. As he's pointing people to Jesus Christ, two of his best friends, two of his disciples, two of John's main guys, they leave John and they follow Jesus. By the way, that takes a lot of humility for a guy like John the Baptist with all the influence he had. He recognized that he's just a man, he's just a guy, and really the one people ought to be following is Jesus. He was willing to see two of his main guys walk away and follow Jesus Christ. And these two guys, that's what they do. Verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And some people might say, well, I can't believe they would do John like that. I can't believe they would just walk away from their friend, their mentor. But remember, they wanted to know Jesus. And there are times in our lives we lose sight of the fact that the root motivator for all that we do has to be a desire to know Jesus Christ. They didn't want empty religion. They didn't want to be like the Pharisees. They wanted something more. They wanted something real. They didn't just want something to keep them busy. They wanted to know the Lord. And friend, today, knowing Jesus begins with a want to. It begins with a heart. You have the desire to know him. No one can force you to walk with God. No one can force you to have a relationship. It's a personal decision. There are certain things I can force my children to do. I can force them. And you say, well, I would never force my kids to do something like this. We have with all of our kids, and they're all doing fine. Okay? The only ones with problems is me, you know? No, there are things I can force. We've made our kids go to church. Now, understand, we're not like heavy, we're not heartless about it. We're not doing one thing over here and then saying, well, let's be in church over here. We try to be consistent. We try to love God. We try to be loving parents. But listen, with your children, you can tell them, there are some things you can tell them to do. We tell them they need to go to church and they don't ever fight us about it. When we go to church, we tell them, you better sing the songs. You're going to get involved. Yeah, you're going to dress a certain way when we go to church because God deserves our best. You're going to carry a Bible. I know, I'm going to be called a Pharisee for all these things. But there are things we can make them do. We can tell them carry a Bible. We can tell them you need to go to the activities. We can tell them that you need to serve in some way. But you know, there's one thing. When my children get to a certain age, there's one thing that I cannot force on them. I cannot force them to have a personal walk with God. I can't make that happen. That has to come from their own desires to know Jesus Christ. And by the way, parents, if you're in that mode and you're trying to help your children and you're like, well, these are the rules, these are the things we do. No, the one thing that 'll keep them attached to Jesus is if they see mom and dad with a walk with God on their own. When they grow up, they'll be like, I want what mom and dad have. If you raise them and it's heavy-handed and they don't ever see the relationship that you have with God, don't be surprised if when they get old enough that they're like, okay, I don't want any of that. No, walk with the Lord, show them what it's like, and that will be your greatest influence in teaching the next generation to walk with God. But here's the point. Here's what I want you to start with. The great thing about all this is anybody can know Jesus. These guys were fishermen. They were average Joes. But Jesus didn't walk by that day and say, okay, everybody with a college degree, come on. He didn't say, everybody that is important in politics, y'all come with me. He didn't say, everybody that's big in the church, y'all follow me. No, he just walked along. And anybody with a desire to follow him, he let them. Look at verse 38. It says, and then Jesus turned. So these two disciples start following Jesus, these fishermen, and it says that he turned and saw them following. So I want you to think about what's happening. Here's Jesus. He's walking along, and he's not with these guys. So he's walking along. John says, behold, the Lamb of God. And then these two guys start following, but they're not with him because he has to turn and look back at them. Which means, I wonder if they're following along, Jesus is over there, and they're like, oh man, Alex, stand up with me. Okay, we'll be these two guys. We're like, okay, here he is. It's like, man, should we get closer? You think he'll let us talk to him? Let's go. So, I don't know. Oh, I don't know if he'll let us come. Like, what do we do? This is the Messiah. What do you think we should do, Alex? Walk? Okay, let's try it. I don't think I can. Oh, it's the Messiah. It's the Son of God. You ever seen somebody maybe famous and you want to get their autograph? This is kind of how you are. It's like, but they're eating. I mean, they're with their family. I don't want to go up and interrupt right now. That's what I think is happening. They're kind of walking behind like, okay, there he is. And Jesus turns and you know what he says? He says, you guys are fishermen. Get away from me. Ew. No, I mean, no. They didn't. Thank you, Alex. I'm going to use you a lot if you sit up front, by the way. So, no, he didn't say that at all. No, actually, he looked. It says he turned and looked. And this isn't just like, oh, hey, this is a studying look. He looks at him, and it's like, you know, I don't know, maybe your mom or dad was like this. My mom was like this. She could look at me, and I'm like, okay, she knows everything I'm thinking right now. She just looked into my soul. She knows all the things that are wrong with me right now. This is what Jesus, he looks at these guys. And he doesn't say, ooh, get away. He doesn't say, you're not qualified. No, he says, what seek ye? And that's not just like, hey, what's up? No, he's saying, what are you doing? What are you looking for? What are you hoping to find? What seek ye? And by the way, this is the way I think it is that for many of us here this morning that we're like, I don't know how close I can be to Jesus. I don't know how close I can get to him because you should see what I've done in my past. And you should see what I've dealt with and you should see how far I've come. And I'm not sure that the Son of God, I'm not sure that the Messiah wants me close. But guess what he's asking you this morning? What seek ye? See, for many, this is the first time the Lamb of God that they had heard him say words since they found out this is the Lamb of God. And you know what? He doesn't stand up on the mountaintop and give this great oration and this huge speech. And he doesn't stop and talk to the Pharisees. No, he turns and he looks to two uncertain men who aren't really sure what they're supposed to do next. Those are the first people that he talks to. And you know why? Because if he had talked to the Pharisees, it would have given the impression to everybody else that that's his target audience. But that's not who he was looking for. No, he was looking for the average Joes. He was looking for the fishermen. He was looking for those that would humble themselves and truly desire to seek him. Because the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It doesn't list qualifications. It doesn't say you have to have a certain intelligence level. It doesn't say you have to have a certain college degree. No, all he wants is to find people that want to know him. And this morning, guess what he's asking? What seek ye? What are you looking for? Are you here out of duty? Did you come today because somebody expects you to be here? Did you come because you have an obligation? Did you come because you're just here out of habit? Did you come just because this is how you were raised? No, what seek ye? This is the question that forced who I believe is Andrew and John, these apostles, to state their purpose. And he says, what seek ye? And God is asking, what seek ye? Why are you here? Are you here to know Jesus Christ? Or are you here because this is what's expected of you? Because your motivation for coming to Jesus will make a difference in how he treats you. It'll make a difference in how much he opens up to you. If you're coming out of habit, I'm telling you this, he's seeking for those that truly want to know him. So they say, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? That's kind of a weird answer. What seek you? We just kind of want to know where you live. Okay, that's kind of weird. No, he knew what they meant. You know what they're saying? Master, we want somebody to teach us. But we're going to need more time than just a few minutes on the side of the road. So where do you live? Where can we go where it's just you and us? Where do you dwell? We don't want a few minutes. We want time. We want to know you. And the only way for us to know you is to go somewhere where we can sit down and you can teach us and you can help us. Listen, if you want to know Jesus, it shouldn't be an arm twist to get you to his house. You should come and say, I want to know you, but I need to be where you are so I can really get to know you. Knowing Jesus begins with desire, but knowing Jesus is nurtured in time spent with him. So understand, it starts with the desire, and nobody can make you want to know Jesus Christ. You have to decide, and by the way, you say, well, I just don't have a want to. I don't have a desire. Well, here's what you have to do if you don't have a want to and you don't have a desire. Just do what you know you're supposed to do, and guess what? He'll start to change your desires. A lot of people say, well, I don't know. I don't have a desire. I don't have a want to, so I'm just going to walk away from it all. That's not going to fix it. No, what fixes it is you saying, I want to know Jesus, or I don't have a desire right now to know Jesus, but in the end, I want to know him, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do, and he'll change my desires, and he will. But second, understand, just because you want to know Jesus doesn't mean it's going to happen automatically. Why? Because it takes time. They said, where do you live? Take us to your house. We want to be where you are. In verse 38, it says, then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. So they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. If you really want to get to know someone, it takes time. It takes effort. They go to the place where he lives so they can learn about him. Knowing Jesus takes time. It takes effort. It takes commitment to a process. And here's the problem is that we live in a culture that's infatuated with a quick fix. Make money overnight. Lose weight in one simple day. I wish. Get your degree in 6 months. You can be ordained as a minister in 20 minutes or less. It doesn't really work in most walks of life. Become a brain surgeon by tomorrow. Follow these 3 easy steps. I'm not going to sign up for that. You can be a commercial pilot by this time next week. Answer these questions and get your license today. Some things you shouldn't rush, by the way. Some things you can't rush. And if Jesus, I want you to hear this, if Jesus is who he says he is, and we believe he is God. He is holy, he is majesty, as we heard, he is almighty, he has all power, he can be in all places at once, he knows everything, he can do anything. And if he is who he says he is, if he's the God of heaven and he created all there is, and he's holy and he's powerful and he's all-knowing, and you can know him, but listen, if he is who he is, then there's so much to learn that you have to be willing to invest your life to know. I believe part of the reason there are so few genuine disciples is because our culture wants to microwave everything. We just want it to be done. We want it now. But that's not the way it works with knowing Jesus. And I believe that's the reason a lot of people don't stick. Because they think, well, you know, everything else I do, it's overnight. It's quick. I want my fast food now. And I want everything right away. But here's Andrew and John, and they know they need time with Jesus. They need to go to where he lives. They need to spend time in his house. Because you're not going to be super Christian overnight. Being a disciple means you're a learner. And I don't know if you remember, the school days seem like they took a long time. It takes a long time to learn all you need to know before you're ready to take the next step. You say, well, I'm not sure I can invest that time. No, don't get discouraged, because I want you to notice Jesus' response in verse 39. He saith unto them, or ready? Look at verse 39. And when we get to the words in red, I want you to read them. Ready? Verse 39. He saith unto them, come and see. Come and see. You know this? No one wants you to know Jesus as much as Jesus does. How do we know? Well, he stepped out of heaven to live and die in your place. The next time you wonder if God cares about you and God wants to know you at all, just remember that he left heaven and went to a cross for you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ like you should, it's not because he doesn't make himself available. No, he says to everybody, come and see. Come and see. Listen, if you have a seeking heart, God says, come and see. If you have desire at all, God says, come and see. No one is turned away. Come and see. Even if you've never met him, come and see. The issue is, Alex, I'm going to use you again. You stand up and you be Jesus Christ, okay? And I just want you to say, come and see, real nice and loud. Okay. All right. Say it again. Yes, I get to know Jesus. Yes. I mean, this is how we are. Jesus says, come and see. And we say we're excited about it. But we're not taking any steps to do it. He says, come and see. Guess what we've got to do? Say it again. Okay. And guess what? He doesn't start running away and now we're chasing him around. No, I mean, I used to do that with my kids. They try to chase me all through the house. Man, I have such good moves. It's amazing. I can avoid all of them at once. I'm diving over furniture. That's not how it is with God. He says, come and see. Then he plants himself and says, come on. And the only reason we're not near him is because we have chosen not to take the steps to get there. Thank you, Alex. He's doing a great job, by the way. He is very well-rounded in his abilities to play different characters. And so I'm impressed today. No, but listen, if you don't know Jesus, it's not because you don't have an invitation. And it's not because he doesn't want to know you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, it's because you've not taken the steps to get to him. Andrew and John said, we want to go where you are. If it's in your house, if it takes all day, they went and they spent the whole day with Jesus Christ. They went to that house looking for a teacher. They found a Savior. I'm telling you, you'll start to take steps. You're going to find you get so much more with Jesus than you thought you would. Come with a desire to know him. And listen, if you would just, some of you don't know Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is admit your sin and confess it and ask forgiveness, and you can have eternal life. It's a free gift and it's available. But the best part is once you know Jesus, you can spend the rest of your life learning more and more. And I'm telling you, he never disappoints. You may think you know him now. When you truly, really get to know him, I'm telling you, he's so much more than you can imagine. He's more than a teacher. He's more than a mentor. He's more than just a miracle worker. No, he's your personal savior. And to know him is to be fulfilled and have joy and have everything you ever dreamed of and all the emptiness that you feel right now, he can fill it. When you know Jesus, he never disappoints. So here's what it looks like to know Jesus. First, it begins with a desire. But next, it takes time. Time. The third, knowing Jesus results in transformation. So it begins with a desire. It's nurtured through time, and it results in transformation. Look at what he says to Simon when Simon and Peter comes along. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So I love what Andrew does, by the way. The first thing he does when he meets the Messiah is he goes and he tells somebody about it. It says he first findeth his brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, that's talking about Simon Peter, he says, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. When Jesus beheld him, when he looked at Simon, he says, right now, the first thing Jesus ever says to Peter, he says, right now, you are Simon. But one day, you're going to be called Peter, which means a stone. Now, what's wrong with Simon? I mean, that's a perfectly fine Jewish name. This comes from Simeon, which means that God hears. It's a good name. See, but Jesus, listen, Jesus wasn't so much bashing his old name as much as he was letting Peter know that he's letting him know, I'm going to transform you into something different than what you are right now. See, if Peter had never known Jesus, he would have always just been Simon, a fisherman. That's fine. But meeting Jesus began a transformation, that process that turned Simon into Peter. He took Simon from this insecure, impulsive man who was always getting himself in trouble, sticking his foot in his mouth before he was speaking, and he took him and turned him into the leader of that first church at Jerusalem. Now, it was Peter who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached, and thousands of people got saved. It was Peter, the rock, who that first church looked for strength and guidance and leadership in those early days. But understand this. Here's what I want you to know. If Peter had never known Jesus, he would have only always ever been Simon. See, when you know Jesus Christ, it changes you. See, knowing Jesus is not about information. It's about transformation. See, God wants to change you from what you are right now to what you could be. And the more you know in the process, the more you change. The more you know, the more you become like Him. It is His plan for your life to be in the image of His Son, conform to the image of Jesus Christ. And the more we know, the more we become like Him. Listen, He wants to spiritually transform you today. And He can change you from what you are to what you ought to be. And I really believe in most of our churches, we have far too many Christian Simons walking around, when if they would just take the time and have the desire to know Jesus Christ, they could be Peters. Aren't you tired of being what you've always been? Get to know Jesus. You want something different for your life than what you've always had? Guess what? You need to know Jesus Christ. Literally will change your life. If you want the peace and the satisfaction that you've always been missing, get to know Jesus. If you have desire to overcome that besetting sin in your life, which is keeping you from revival, what do I do, Pastor? What are we supposed to do? I'll tell you what you do. You get to know Jesus Christ. Spend your life knowing Him, and you can't be with Him and Him not change you from the inside out. See, the way I see it, we're all on the scale somewhere, and maybe you're here and you have a desire, but you've never really taken that step. All it takes this morning is for you by faith to admit that you're a sinner, confess that sin before God, acknowledge that you are guilty before Him, and accept His payment on the cross, His finished work on the cross, to save you from your sins. And that desire can turn into reality this morning. Do you know Jesus? Have you ever met Jesus Christ? Have you ever placed your faith in Him? I'm talking about you, by you know 100% for sure that you placed your faith in Jesus, that you have a relationship with Him. Do you know Him this morning? It begins with a desire. And we have people in this room, I think, who you desire to know Jesus Christ. You're just not sure to where to start. Well, here's where you start, by receiving Him as your Savior. But maybe you've received Him as your Savior and you have a desire to know Him more. You're just not really sure what to do. Well, that's why you have a pastor and pastor's wife and friends. They can help you to know what steps to take to know Him more. But you know, you have a desire, but maybe you've never put in the time. And that's where you're at. You have a desire, but you've not really put in the time. Well, listen, today's the day to start. You want to know Jesus Christ? You've got to invest time. You've got to spend time. By the way, where did they go? They went to His house. It's time for you to invest in God's house. And say, you know, my spiritual journey is not meant to be lived by myself. I need some help. I need some accountability. I need some teaching. And I'm telling you, it is time to invest time in your walk with God. And guess what He says, by the way? Come and see. It's open to you. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be important. You don't have to be well-known or well-liked. No, all you have to be willing, you have to say, I have a desire, and I'm going to invest some time. And maybe you've met Him, and you've been walking this walk for a while, but you've never really let Him transform you. You know, I'm telling you, if you've been discouraged that you're not further along in your Christian walk, you know what Jesus says? He says, how dare you? No, actually He says, come and see. Every person on every walk of life, in every stage of your journey, you don't know Jesus, guess what He says? Come and see. You're just starting your Christian life, you're not really sure where to start, guess what He says? Come and see. You kind of started a while back, but now you're backslidden. You're not really sure how to get back. Guess what He says? Come and see. You've been doing it for a while, and it's cold, and it's a little bit empty, and you're not where you want to be. Guess what He says? Come and see. You're an old or older Christian. Maybe you're an elderly saint. You're not really sure what He has for you. You're not really sure if He has a plan for your life anymore. Guess what He says? Come and see. To every person that in every stage of life, on every step of the journey, you have this invitation from God, and He says this, come and see. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how far you have fallen or where you've been, no, He just says, come and see, and He never turns anyone away. I saw a billboard, we're almost done, I saw a billboard on the way down, and it said this, one day you will meet God. And I was just thinking about that as we drove, and I thought, that's true. We will all meet the Lord. That's inevitable. But what isn't inevitable is this, the timing. See, meaning, you choose when you meet Him. Because as we've heard today, there is an invitation. It says, come and see. To the lost, come and see. Today's the day. To the Christian, you don't walk with God. You're not where you need to be. He says to you, come and see. We have a choice to make. See, we will all meet God, but we choose when. See, you can either choose, I want to meet Jesus. I want to know Jesus today. I want to change things today. I want this to be different today. I want to walk with Him today. I want to know Him right now. You can choose that. Or you can punt it. And say, well, I'll just wait. Well, you will meet Him. But the choice is, I can either meet Him today and enjoy the process, or I can say, no, I'm going to wait to meet Him later and stand before Him and have Him judge me. And I'm telling you, that's not going to be a process we enjoy. You will and I will meet God someday. And I'm telling you, we're much better off if we accept the invitation to come and see and say, no, I'm going to start living to know Him now, rather than waiting till the end. And listen, that could be more of like a depart from me kind of moment, and you don't want that. So I'm telling you, accept the come and see moment now and avoid the depart from me moment later. You're going to meet Him. Might as well say, I want to meet Him now. I want to know him today. I want to get down to the end of my life and have no regrets because I invested my life. I had desire. I invested my time. I let him transform me. And now look where I get to be because I knew Jesus. I think it's time to stop playing the religious game. I think it's time to stop playing religion, playing church, and say, no, I'm in this to know Jesus Christ. Not for mom or dad, young people. Not to make somebody else happy. Not to check the religious box, but to have a relationship with my Savior. And if you have the want to and you are willing to invest the time and you are willing to let him transform you, Jesus says, come and see. No one's turned away. It's an open invitation, and the only thing keeping you from knowing him is you. What seek you? Well, if you seek Jesus, he says, come and see. Are you willing? To the lost this morning, are you willing to say, I'm done with my pride. I don't want to wait to meet until I get to heaven, and that's too late. And you can meet him today. To the Christian, you say, I've spent most of my life kind of playing the religious game, and I need to stop doing that. I need to start knowing Jesus. I need to say, no, my life is to know Jesus Christ. To everyone, he says this morning, come and see. Are you willing to follow? Willing to say yes to his invitation? You can bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions this morning, and it will be done. Do you know the Lord? I'm asking you this morning, do you know 100% for sure? You know Jesus Christ. You've met him. You know that part is settled. If you were to die today, you'd be on your way to heaven. Could you say that with full confidence this morning? If you can, would you just raise your hand and say public testimony? I know Jesus. Okay, thank you. Thank you. See those hands everywhere. But maybe there's some in here and you say, I don't know that I know Jesus Christ. And I need to take care of this step. I need to fix this. I'm going to meet him someday. Might as well just meet him now and make that choice. Would you be willing to do that today? Well, I'm not asking you to make the choice, but maybe you'd be willing to at least admit today you don't know him. And you'd ask maybe for some prayer. I'd love to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. Is there anybody in the room today that would say, just with a raise of hands, I don't know Jesus Christ. I'm not sure that if I died today, I'd be on my way to heaven. Is there anybody here this morning that would say that? Just with a quick raise of your hand. Anybody here today? So by your own testimony this morning, then, you are a child of God. You know you have a relationship. You've met Jesus Christ. But let me ask you this, just with a raising hand. Would you be able to raise your hand and say, I am exactly where I need to be. My walk with God is exactly what it ought to be. I know him as much as I'm supposed to know him. There's nothing in my life that I need to change when it comes to my relationship with God. I know him. It's going that well. Everything is really good. Is there anybody that would say, okay, with a raise of hand, that's exactly where I'm at. I'm right where I need to be. Okay, so then let me ask the other question. Would you then, with a raise of your hand, be willing to admit today, there's something in my life, in my walk with God, knowing Jesus, that I need to change. There is something that is not exactly where it needs to be, and I'll admit that. Would you raise your hand this morning and say, yes, that's me. I think we all would be there. So you know what that means today is there's a choice for you to make. There's a choice, there's a change for you to make when it comes to your relationship with Jesus Christ. And today's the day. Let me encourage you, if you raise your hand and there's something in your life that's not what it's supposed to be, you and Jesus aren't right where you need to be, would you be willing to step out and come forward and bow yourself before God and say, Father, please help me to make this different, change this part of me. He says, come and see. Take him up on that invitation and make the changes that are needed in your life. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. We'll have a verse of invitation. If there's anything in your walk with God that's not where it needs to be, would you step out and make that right this morning? Father, I pray for your help. We ask you, Lord, to move in our hearts. Lord, I pray that this revival would begin with a return to you. That's the most important relationship, that we know you. that we're where we ought to be. God, today's the day. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, the invitation is done. If God has spoken to you about something in your life, in your walk with God that needs to be different, would you be willing to step out and do business with God this morning? Let's get these things right from the very first service so that the rest of the week we're just building on it. Is there something in your walk with God that's not where it needs to be? Are you consistent in your Bible reading? Are you consistent in your prayer life? Are you going through the motions when it comes to your walk with God? Let's get these things right today. Do you know Jesus like you should? If not, do business with the Lord this morning as we pray.